from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Can you just describe, Quincy, the confidence and the swag to get you to the top of the podium?
Well, it's like this. I've been going through a lot early in the beginning of this year. And so I just let a lot of stuff go that was the distractions. And then I focused on myself. And you see, I dropped 0.5 each time I race. And when I let go of everything, I stopped losing. I did not lose since. So I'm on a streak right now where I'm focusing on myself, focusing on my daughters, and focusing on my animals. And see what I see that takes me out there.
Quincy Hall, after winning the gold. Comeback win for the Americans. We got table tennis now.
Yes, this is Olympic table tennis. You play ping pong?
Sure.
Is it insulting to call it ping pong?
Is it different?
That's another good question. I don't think it's any different. Does it look different?
No.
Same table, same rack, same paddles.
They're very fast and very good, and they're also given quite a bit of room to maneuver, whereas most ping pong tables I've played have been in someone's basement and you're going to run into the wall.
Yes.
So,
Sometimes you would play it off the wall.
Sure. House rules.
House rules, yep.
Jeremy and Joe, good morning. We'll talk to Sal coming up bottom of the hour, 7:30, on the Bills. Last day of practice, which is today. We took a call earlier on the pole vault, and we've kind of put out a call to anyone out there that if you've played or participated in one of these sports that people don't know much about or don't know enough about, like we were just idiots on pole vault, and Adam Buffalo called in and talked to us about his experience as a pole vaulter. If you've got something to share with us, why not, right? It's the Olympics,
yep.
And people are getting exposed to these sports they maybe don't regularly see, whether that's, as I mentioned, like discus, steeplechase.
Yeah.
Those are just the first two that came to mind. Breaking is going to be tomorrow. That's a new event in the Olympics, breaking.
One-time event. They're not doing it next Olympics.
It's not planned for 2028.
They're just doing it this time.
Okay. Yeah. Flag football comes in 2028.
And baseball.
803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. So give us a call if you have something to share. We'll get your calls in. And I want to talk about the Browns, something the Browns did yesterday that is relevant to the Bills and their stadium. Don and Lockport up first, though. Hey, Don, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Jeremy. Joe, how you doing? One of my unique events that I tried in high school that I ended up going to three Olympic trials and managed three Olympians is race walking, the Olympic sport of walking, speed walking.
So tell us about it. So you went to trials?
Yeah, I went to three Olympic trials back in the 80s and 90s. Graduated from Lockport High School, went to University of Wisconsin on a full ride, which a lot of people don't realize you can be a walk-on and actually count as a team scorer, so it's pretty cool.
A walk-on, no pun intended there?
No pun. Well, pun very much.
Right.
But anyway, but I teach regular people how to walk for fitness and power walking, race walking, which is a USA track and field event for not only youth, open, and masters. So we travel the country. I am based here in Western New York, but do clinics up and down the East Coast.
Very cool. When it comes to getting into race, like what got you into it? How does the training differ from, you know, other cardiovascular or whatever running events?
Yeah, very similar. I've done many marathons, both running and race walking. So the difference is the mental aspect of keeping one foot on the ground at all times. The knee must be straight upon heel contact to the vertical position. So, I mean, there's some two rules in race walking, so you can be disqualified. If anyone watched the marathon walk relay, which was a new event for Paris, one man, one woman for each country, and they do a 10K times four. So it's kind of an interesting take on the race walk event, but it's what the Olympics are trying to do, is get more people involved with different events like the mixed relay and the 4x4 track and field.
Yeah. And you'll be like broken down on video and disqualified?
No, not on video. It's all judged by the naked eye, okay, which makes it a little contentious, especially when you have judges from all over the world trying to support their home team, it seems like. So kind of tough.
Yeah, I just pulled a video up of this Olympics, the speed walking race, race walking, and
It,
correct me if I'm wrong, Don, it looks like there's a penalty box. Like
there is, which, you know, to be honest with you, guys that started back in the 70s and 80s like myself were a little shy of talking about it, but it's kind of a timeout. So if you get three disqualifications, they give you one more chance, but they give you a time penalty. So for this marathon relay, it's 3 minutes, which is huge. And it's the difference between being in the top and then also, you know, you're back in 20th place.
Yeah.
So they give you one more chance before you get that fourth DQ to get disqualified or removed from the course.
And that would usually just come because you're, like, how hard is it to not run?
You know what? Once you're in the race walk mode, it's easier to stay in it. But if you're becoming lofty or you get too aggressive in your stride, too lengthy, then therefore the judges may see a flight phase, which warrants a disqualification for loss of contact.
Okay.
So you do have to maintain contact with the ground. So a lot of my football friends would say, well, you never did a contact sport. I said, ha-ha, yes, I did.
I like, thanks,
but,
Don.
But answer your question real quick. In high school, there was only two kids entered. I know they gave a bronze medal for third, so I took dead last, but I had an official come up to me and encouraged me to keep going, which is why I do it now to the kids as well as anyone that wants to come out to the classes.
Nice. Thanks, Don. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Don.
On race walking. You know, my brain always goes to one place when it comes to watching sports. You know, sitting there saying, must maintain contact with the ground. And I just picture watching race walking. And let's get Gene Steratore.
This would be the event for Gene Steratore.
I'll tell you this, though.
Holy cow.
I'm broken on sports. I know this. I know that I am when it comes to reviews. Because watching these Olympics, most of them don't have any. Most of them, it's just the sport happens. Volleyball is a series of nonstop challenges now. There's so many challenges.
They have the Hawkeye stuff.
They do have the Hawkeye, but you also have the challenge. And you've got the same thing you do in football, where the men's volleyball, guy spikes it over the top of the blocker's hands and out of play. Mm-hmm. And then he does the sign, like, challenge that. The same way a receiver gets up. It's like, I caught that. Challenge that play.
Mm-hmm.
And they stop. Then they challenge it. And they list how many challenges are left. Man, I just hate stopping. I understand, like, we want to get things right. Everybody understands, like, that's the goal. But, man, so many stoppages, so many challenges, so many. It drives me nuts. I don't know that I'll ever go back to just being able to just watch sports. It's one of the reasons I like these Olympics.
Yeah.
Just go. Sometimes they go back and they take a medal away an hour later or a day later rather than stopping the event to evaluate, which, you know, maybe it is better to stop things.
That's why I just never, it's never bothered me. Maybe that's because I grew up with it. I've never known sports without it. But it's never... what was the skeet shooting where the woman got lost out on the gold medal because she hit the thing, but they didn't see it, and that sport doesn't have replay review? Like, I would rather take 45 seconds right then and there to see if she did it rather than for her for the next 50 years to know she hit it and not have the medal.
The difference is it's not just 45 seconds right there. It's 45 seconds 213 times per event.
Okay, right, yeah.
It's the creeping replay. Anyway, thanks for the phone call. Thanks, Don. 803-0550. So quick thing, Sal's joining us 7:30. We'll recap yesterday at camp and get today, which is the final day of training camp as well. The Browns yesterday sent out a video that is annoying in two ways. Yeah. I'm annoyed for two reasons. One, it is a video / computer-generated rock music-laced stadium tour of their plans for a new stadium.
Mm-hmm.
What the Browns are doing, the Browns have unveiled plans for a $2.4 billion dome as the team considers moving out of downtown Cleveland. They're considering a plan from the city of Cleveland to renovate their stadium. The stadium is 25 years old.
Okay.
And there's a $1.1 billion plan to renovate that stadium. And the Browns, the NFL team, the Cleveland Browns, made it clear Wednesday their preference is to build a $2.4 billion dome in Brook Park, Ohio.
Okay.
So this is a team that would move out of a downtown and into Brook Park, Ohio, which, how far is that from Cleveland? Let me find that right now.
The one, I don't know how scientific this is, but the one image of the dome from like the sky, the generated image, like you see downtown Cleveland in the distance.
It's by the airport.
Okay.
Brook Park is by the airport. And if you've driven through Cleveland or towards Cleveland like you have many times, anybody in Buffalo using the thruway going west, it's definitely outside of Cleveland. It's as outside of Cleveland as Orchard Park is to Buffalo, and maybe even more so.
Yep.
So whatever, they're moving out of Cleveland to Brook Park for this $2.4 billion dome. And of course, what did we get in this video? An unbelievable fly through the amenities.
You also had like 16 images that they released too of like different angles and areas of the stadium.
There are rock concerts and there are little digital people dancing in the videos. And I have previously logged my complaints about the fact that the Bills, we do not have this. We do not have, even though they're not locked in congressional testimony, it must be the most accurate thing in the world, we don't have moving pictures of the Bills stadium. We don't have a fly-through of what will the concourse look like. What will it be like to walk the concourse and be able to see the field? We know a lot of the features of the new Bills stadium. We're seeing it being built out there in Orchard Park across the street from the stadium. If you're going to the preseason game on Saturday, maybe you didn't go to the blue and red. Maybe you go to the preseason game. You're going to get a look at a giant stadium. You've seen pictures. Mocked up pictures, but no moving pictures.
And how many pictures do we have? Like 15?
Maybe. We've seen a good number of what it's going to look like. We know what the outside looks like, but we just don't have that fly through.
Right.
And that's a choice that the Bills have made and the stadium, they've made that choice to not give us that. Okay, fine. Fine. It does make it harder to picture when people ask, you know, what do you think of the stadium? What will it be like? We've toured the site. And the site is still like steel, concrete. I think it's going to be pretty great. I think it's going to be amazing. So two things happen when another team showcases a fly-through of a stadium. Number one, I get upset because we don't have one from the Bills.
Yeah.
And number two, people say that stadium already looks better than the Bills' new stadium. Which leads me to a very, very important point that must be made. Because as much as I'm upset and as much as it bothers me or annoys me, we don't have the fly-through of the Bills Stadium, it needs to be pointed out that the thing that Cleveland tweeted out is not real. It's not agreed to. It's not financed. It's not planned. It's someone...
It's a proposal.
It's a computer program.
Yeah.
It's not a stadium.
Mm-hmm.
It's not close to real. And that's one thing that I guess I can't quite understand. And I'm not here to understand everything. I can't understand the decision behind you put that visual out of the Brown Stadium, just like they did in Tennessee. Uh-huh. The Titans had theirs. And people look at that, the moving pictures, and they think, that looks incredible. And it's not even real.
Yeah.
The Bills have a stadium being built.
Yeah.
And they are selling seats to it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're bringing people in for individual tours and then this and that. And some of you have to wait a year. I'm waiting a year for when I find out what my ticket is going to be costing me. A year. And in the time leading up to that, I can't get a video like that one that does it not get people excited about it? The idea of like, look at this place. I can't believe how cool that's going to be. Is it crazy? I'm sure I'm wrong. They've got a lot of professional people down there that are running this operation. How could it not help you to show people what it will be like in there instead of treating it like it's what? Like it's the Sabres slug uniform reveal, a tiny square at a time. And word of mouth. And when you get to the stadium experience, you get, you know, a great look at the history and what the team means to the area. But the thing that is going to be the most interesting is actually seeing what it will be like to be in the stadium. And all over the place in my life, I get tours of stadiums that don't exist, not even in planning phases.
Yeah. So, are those teams doing it? I don't know when the Titans one timed out. Is the difference because the Bills already have it agreed to and the Browns need to generate support for the idea of a new stadium?
Sure.
So they're putting it out there because, guys, you should be on board with this because look how sweet this is.
Look how beautiful this could be. Chicago had one of these, too. Look how beautiful this could be.
Yeah. This is why you should – in some of these cities, this was Kansas City, right, have like referendums on where they should do in the first place, and you put a video out like this, I mean – Somebody might be more likely to vote for you if they see that you should do it. But it looks that beautiful.
What we're talking about here is, in that scenario, it's, wow, that looks amazing. I'm going to call my assemblyman. Versus, right, that video looks awesome. I'm going to buy a seat in it.
Right.
Maybe sales are going so well they don't need that. But boy, it would be really nice to see inside.
Yeah.
So there's my complaint. It's frustrating. I'd like to see it. I'd like to see what it will look like. I'd like to see anything. I'm impatient. What can I say? I'm impatient. The other reaction that happens a lot, and there's a lot of this, because Chicago's proposal was dome. Cleveland's proposal was dome. This one, this $2.4 billion in Brook Park, Ohio, it's dome.
Mm-hmm.
And there's still an awful lot of Bills Mafia that is mad, disappointed, feeling like they missed out because they are not building a dome.
Mm-hmm.
I am not one of those people.
I'm not either.
But they're still there. And they're...
And every northeast city especially that decides to do it. Because that was one thing that was kind of interesting, was that of all the domes, a lot of them are in the south. Not all of them, but a lot of them are. Like Minnesota is up in the north in cold weather.
Detroit.
But like, Detroit, too, but
most
Pittsburgh's
of them,
outdoors, New England's outdoors, Cleveland's been outdoors, and maybe still will be. New York City's outdoors.
Right, like, but Atlanta, New Orleans, Houston.
Yeah, right.
Indianapolis is
these
not.
These are the cities down south that have the domes.
Right.
So, to me, I always pointed to that. Like, I don't know. Like, the whole league regionally up in the Northeast, like, just kind of, they're all outdoors. I don't know. Maybe the league likes it that way. And to me, like, you also had the benefit of the cover over top, which is going to help more than the current stadium. So I never got into that. But, yeah, if you're team dome, like, yeah, you're going to have some
every time a stadium FOMO comes out that's a dome, you're going to feel like you missed out.
Right. Even though neither of the two that were proposed of the domes.
They're not real.
Those are the two that aren't even agreed to.
Right. They're not real.
Right. The Bears don't know anything about their next stadium yet.
No.
Because that's not agreed to. And this Cleveland thing, like, it was earlier in the week that the city approved like $400 million in renovations. And then later that week, they dropped this. So what are they pressuring? Like, I can only guess. What are they pressuring Cleveland to build them a brand new stadium downtown somewhere? Or do they want more renovations? You're like, we're going to go to Brook Park if you don't give us what we want.
Right. And these moving pictures are used as leverage, I suppose, to show people what they could get in Brook Park. And maybe that works. Maybe that's worked in the past where you fire up a rendering and, you know, there's enough support. I mean, Kansas City, the Chiefs might move states.
Even if they're only moving 15 minutes to the west.
Right. They might move states. They might move to the other Kansas City. The whole thing is, well, it's a waiting game, and I'm not good at waiting. So, you'll get a look at the stadium if you go down there again. They've got this, you know, across the street from the stadium, you're starting to see the sheer size of it. You know, the landscaping, the prettiness, the finishing touches, like that's quite a bit away. But if you haven't seen it yet, I think it's pretty impressive.
Yeah. I mean, and when you do go through there, like there's no like moving video from what I remember, but you'll get, you know, they're trying to keep it what? Special for the fan when they go through? Like I don't even know really.
Think about when you buy a ticket to a sporting event. Like, you want to get tickets to the Sabres.
Yeah.
You go and you sit in the seat. Right? You go sit in the seat and like, here it is. What do you think? Now, granted, the Sabres have a lot of season tickets that might be available and whatever. But the selling point for what you want to do is to sit in the seat. And that kind of doesn't yet exist for this new Bills Stadium. And it's also, I think, one thing that's whether it's a disconnect. I mean, I don't know how everyone's experience is going, but the thing I wonder about is we had a caller call in last week or 2 weeks ago that had seats for however many years, and now the seat that they are in is now a club seat. That's hard to envision what that means. You get a picture of what this thing might mean, not an actual tour of what that thing actually is. Okay, what does it really mean? So part of me wonders how much the Bills can get done in terms of selling seats and selling club seats and experiences and this and that. And how many will be left over by the time, oh, you know what, you could take a tour. If you want a ticket, you can take... The stadium's going to open in 2026, right? 2026 for the... Yep. We got two more seasons at Highmark. And then you're at the new stadium. I wonder if there will be really any time to tour it before buying in, which I guess would be representative of the real estate market right now. Sometimes homes are sold with,
yep.
You want it?
You think a lot of
you can't tour it. Here's a picture.
You think a lot of people will be seeing it the first time when they're walking into their first game?
Yeah.
Or maybe preseason game.
Will there be tours? Will there be any tours beforehand? I don't know the timeline.
It might depend how their schedule's going, right? If they're done 3 months before the season, maybe that's yes. But if they're going to be done 4 weeks before that season, I don't know.
And will there be any inventory still to sell at that point?
Right.
Because if you – and this is – I recognize this is part of the challenge for the Bills. They can't have you sit in the seat. Could they have developed a VR thing where you sit there? The stadium experience doesn't really have that. They have got the mock-up suite.
Yeah.
But there's no sort of – immersive, sit here, this is what it will look like.
Sure.
That doesn't exist right now.
Yeah.
Anyway, 803-0550. Key point, the Browns Stadium is not anything other than just something it's just a video. It's about the same as tweeting a picture of Brandon Ayuk in a Steelers jersey. It's not actually real yet. It can look real, but that stadium that the Browns tweeted out is not real.
Yeah, I think I'd be a little surprised if that thing looks like a new city that they're building.
Yes.
By the way, there was like more buildings around that current stadium. The Titans one looks nice, though.
Yes, it does. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. We'll get Sal in on the other side. Sal's going to be at training camp today. It's the final day of training camp from St. John Fisher, and then the Bills make it back here for Buffalo for the rest of the preseason. Trip to Carolina in there as well, of course. But three preseason games coming up. First one is Saturday, 1 o'clock against the Chicago Bears. Jeremy White, Joe DiBiase with you here on WGR. Sal next to kind of wrap things up on training camp, gearing up for the final day from Fisher.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait. Number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
We'll get to Sal Capaccio. One more day of Bills training camp from St. John Fisher. Coverage of Bills training camp brought to you by Edmar Construction, the equipment you need when you need it. Brought to you by Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys. By Outlet Liquor, when you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? And by your Western New York Ford dealers and the all-purpose affordable Ford Bronco Sport. Jeremy and Joe, along with Sal, who's on the Western Hotline. Sal, good morning. One last day out there at St. John Fisher today, huh?
Yeah, that's right. Yesterday was the penultimate practice, right?
Yes.
Second to last, right? Today is the final day at St. John Fisher. It comes and goes. It's quick. You know, we wait all year, all summer. And, man, this thing's just the NFL just has these benchmarks, as you guys know, right?
Yeah.
You got Super Bowl, then you have the combine and free agency and draft and OTAs, minicamp, and training camp. And, man, it's here. Bam, here we go. And then they'll be back in Buffalo after today.
Yeah, and today's basically the first week of the preseason. I know we had the Hall of Fame game, but two games tonight, three games tomorrow, a full boat on the weekend. The Bills play against the Bears, so the preseason is upon us.
Yeah, and you know what? I think based on – Brian Colesio had actually tweeted out, sent me a clip of the Bears, their coaches talking, and they said that it sounds like Caleb Williams is going to play against the Bills.
Yep.
So – you know, hey, if you're going to the game on Saturday, your chance to see Caleb Williams' debut, professional football debut, which would be pretty cool. We will find out this morning, I'm sure, from Sean McDermott exactly, you know, what his plan is. I'm sure he'll tell something, at least, about the plan for the quarterback, you know, Josh Allen, or the rest of the offense, the starters, the defense. You know, we'll find a little bit more about that this morning. He speaks at 9:15 a.m.
Yeah, he speaks at 9:15. What did Allen say about that? He said he doesn't feel it's necessary, but he kind of wants to.
I don't need to play, right? But but he'll do whatever is asked. Listen, I just think based on the last few years, guys, the way that McDermott's kind of handled everything, that it makes sense that they'll play at some point, right? I mean, they've been playing already, the starters, a lot over the last few years, at least one game. And now you have all these new faces on offense, the chemistry, how much is even, I mean, you go back to, I'm taking the clue from the first day of camp when McDermott said how important it was to kind of intentional reps to get these guys on the same page. So I'm thinking at some point you've probably got to put the starting offense out together. That's including a center, by the way, and a guard who are brand new to their positions.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline from training camp for one final day today.
So what stood out yesterday at practice, Sal? I don't want to go too much in on one play, but I was standing next to you when DeMar Hamlin punched the ball out from James Cook on what looked like it would have been a fumble. And it's hard to not just ignore that in your mind when you see that, because Cook's already got this reputation because of his drops last year and a couple of fumbles too. But I don't know. Is that how big a concern or a wonder should that be for Bills fans with Cook and his reliability in both the drop and the fumble department?
As a like one-time thing, it wouldn't be. But the problem for me, Joe, is it's happened a little too frequently here at camp. With a few of the running backs, Ray Davis has put the ball on the ground a little bit. James Cook, not only yesterday, he's had a few drops. Those drops that like we saw last year. We saw one the other day again as he's getting kind of close to the end zone and it's right there and he's just got to make the catch. You know, reminiscent of the Dallas game last year. They ultimately scored. It didn't matter, but those are the plays that have come up a little bit too frequently here at training camp with James Cook. And I think from that standpoint, it's a concern because it's something we saw last year. Yesterday, before that fumble, there was a play down the seam, and Cook was like, it was a great pass by Josh. Cook had beaten Christian Benford a little bit over. He had a little bit of space down the seam. And as the ball's in the air, this is to the point where now I'm thinking, just don't drop it. Don't drop it, right? Like, that's what's happening. You're thinking, okay, he's got this. He didn't drop it. But you know what happened? He caught it. And as he crossed the goal line and went into the end zone, Benford knocked it loose. Now, I think he would have been in the end zone anyway, but that's still, you've got to have ball security. No matter what it is, what time it is, keep that ball on you. And I think that's something that's got to be addressed.
If it's a problem into the season, I guess how big a problem would it have to be into the season for his role to be changed? Because last year that really never happened, right? Like he had a couple fumbles and he had drops, but they kept going to him. And I've pointed out that Devin Singletary, while he was here, like had one of the highest fumble rates in the league, but they kept trusting him. They kept going to him. Maybe they'd bench him for like a drive or two, same with Cook, but eventually they'd work their way back. Is that how you see it with Cook, that even if there are mistakes this year, like he's not getting phased out of the offense?
Agreed, but I do think you would see those moments of you're not on the field for two series, right? Didn't we see that against Denver, first play, first drive last year, whatever it was, night game? They rip it out, and then we don't see James Cook for a couple drives, if I remember right. You know, I think it's treated a little bit differently when you're in your first year than you are your third, which he is. You know, if that happens at Ray Davis, who's also put the ball on the ground a few times in training camp, then we're probably not seeing Ray Davis for a little while, and it's got to really earn that trust back. But, I mean, James Cook, I don't think he'd be phased out. No, not necessarily. But I do think you would see a shift in maybe the next quarter or so of what happens. We all know that it's like, just something that Sean McDermott doesn't tolerate, you know, on some level, right? There's times where you have to tolerate a certain way and more. But it's something to be concerned about. So, you know, we'll see. But they have some time to kind of work on it, clean it up, think about it. And to me, it's concentration issues a lot of times, too. You're at camp. It's hot. There's a lot going on out there, right? You just have to make sure that you're really buttoned up in those situations.
So when it comes to the running backs, are we a little surprised they don't have anybody that is considered the big guy, the big back, a position that they have valued before, right? I mean, is it something that the Joe Brady offense maybe just requires a little less?
I think that's Ray Davis for you, even though he's not the big guy, right, Jeremy? I think it's more of a style than it is a size. Ray Davis, to me, is your Damian Harris replacement. I think that's exactly the role they wanted to play. Damian Harris was not the biggest guy, but, man, he was a guy that could really run hard between the tackles. That's what I think they're looking for there. I think they like Ty Johnson in that role a little bit, too. Like, these are guys that just run tough. Yeah, you're right. They don't have this really big running back. Last year, they had Latavius Murray. They signed Leonard Fournette late. Still don't have anything like that on the team. And I do wonder, too, like, is that coming? Because to me, it's more about a style than it is a size. I think they like Ray Davis in that type of role. But I think Ray Davis can also be a quality, you know, number two back in the NFL, given his entire skill set.
Sal, yesterday the Bills released their first depth chart of the season, or of training camp in the preseason. Anything meaningful and or interesting to you from what you saw?
Yeah, I think it's meaningful and interesting that there is no Benford slash Elam like we've seen the last few years with maybe whoever it is slash Benford slash Jackson, right? Dane Jackson. And then we say, oh, well, they're kind of battling. We've seen the battle. Like, we see the rotation, but it's not listed on paper as a rotation. It's just listed as Benford and then Elam behind them. That's interesting. I think maybe more interesting, though, is what's happening at safety. Even though Cole Bishop and Mike Edwards are both hurt, okay, we know that means, okay, so DeMar Hamlin's listed as the starter with Taylor Rapp. You could easily say, well, that's because those guys are hurt. That's fine. But what's interesting to me is Cole Bishop's listed with the second team, and Mike Edwards is listed with the third team. So I'm thinking, okay, is that because Edwards just hasn't played enough and he has to start getting healthy? Like, why is that there? Now, look, it's going to be weeks here before we get to regular season, but I think that's really interesting to me that you have Cole Bishop and Cam Lewis listed as the backup safeties behind Taylor Rapp and DeMar Hamlin, and then Mike Edwards is listed as a third-string safety behind those guys. And then, of course, the punt return and kick return, both K.J. Hamler. Does he have a leg up in that competition? If he does, we have to at least start adjusting the way maybe we think about the wide receiver group and who is on the team and who's not.
Quick follow-up on him. How has his camp been going in general for you? Like, is it mostly you think about his return ability that could get him on the team? Is he also doing things offensively? And then, two, like, if he is in play to make the team as a returner, Sal, and then you've got MVS there, Hollins can do this stuff. I'm wondering, like, who's the guy right now that you could see making the team that's going to do all that other special team stuff? Because I don't know, you correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know if I've seen MVS do stuff like that in his career. And maybe then there's your Shavers and your Shorters, but I'm just trying to figure out the receiver room, like how it would be impacted if it's a receiver like Hamler that would get a spot because he wins the return job.
So first of all, at Hamler, I think he's trending up the last week or so. He's getting a little bit more involved. I do see him a little bit more working with the offense. And if they're going to think, okay, he's our return guy, which, you know, that could happen, might not. I think they really like Daquan Hardy back there too, by the way. And, you know, he's fighting for a spot. If they really like Hamler, they could say, okay, well, you know what? If we're going to keep him on the team, we could also use him on offense. And I've seen a little bit of an uptick there. So I think he's trending upward. Here's the biggest point about this, though, Joe. I think we all have to have a bit of a paradigm shift. We all have to think, I want everybody to stop thinking that you have to keep an extra wide receiver as a special teams guy. We have no idea how they're going to treat special teams now due to the kickoff rules. It does not have to be a wide receiver. I could see a world where they keep four tight ends, to be quite honest with you. Maybe you keep Zach Davidson because of his pass catching, and then Quentin Morris stays because he's a special teams guy. Maybe you keep six linebackers. Nicholas Morrow, is, you know, Eddie Ulofosio, all these guys who are, you know, Eddie's a draft pick. But I don't think it has to be a wide receiver, right? So when you say, and the question's right, because that's what we've always had here, which is, well, who's that guy then? Doesn't have to be that guy. Maybe there's just nobody from that group who does it. Maybe it comes from another group.
Sal Capaccio, one more day at St. John Fisher at training camp. Thanks, Sal.
You got it, guys.
All right. Back for Buffalo soon. Saturday, 1 o'clock. Give me the 1 o'clock Saturday preseason game. That's good stuff, right?
Yeah. How, 1 o'clock Saturday game, by the way. Have they had a preseason, like, you know what preseason game comes to mind for me that was like a 1 o'clock Saturday game?
I can't possibly guess.
I don't even know why I come. There was one preseason game against the Giants in the afternoon where Tyrod threw like 10 for 10, crazy yardage, video game moves. That's the only reason I remember it, probably, because it was Tyrod. How different, because I don't want to get sucked into the same trap I got sucked into last year. Like, I'm watching these practices, I'm looking at these depth charts, I'm like, I want to be buying into small speed, different skill set, KJ Hamler, talent, second round pick. But last year, Andy Isabella was that. How different is it? Isn't it the same? Failed second round pick that's small and really fast. And, oh, look, he's having a nice camp. I don't even want to say he's popping off at camp. He's having a nice camp, and maybe he'll make the team. But if he's going to make the team, he's going to be a returner. He shouldn't be playing on offense. Who's he playing over? Nobody.
He's in for Curtis Samuel.
Unless he's their new McKenzie, you play, you know, 5 to 10 snaps every game in, like, a gadget role. Because that guy, well, no, that's Samuel, isn't it?
Yeah.
Samuel's doing that on top of his other responsibilities, I would think.
One thing I really wonder about, this is where I said to you yesterday, the best case scenario for the Bills is that Joe Brady is a witch.
Right.
And he just knows what he's doing and, you know, designs an incredible offense. Because I forget who it was yesterday at practice, we're on the sidelines talking about Shakir. And we had a caller today call and say, you know, I expect a big year from Shakir. I think a lot of people do. The Shakir question, though, there was a question that came about last year, and it will return this year, which is this. If they want to run a lot of 12 personnel, Shakir's off the field, right?
Mm.
Two tight ends means two receivers. I would, unless you're putting him on the boundary, or you know your formations are different, where you know he's not exactly lining up like that.
Well, how much do they believe, which you've heard whispers of, how much do they actually believe that he's more than just a slot receiver? Because if they believe that, he is on the field, I think.
Okay, that's fine. You want to put him on the field, let me brace everybody for something. His efficiency is going to go down.
Yeah.
He cannot be as efficient as he was on the outside.
Well, he's not going to be as efficient as he was no matter what. He was like 90% catch percentage.
Right.
And he led the league in yards per target last year. Like, he's not going to do that. But the point is still right. Like, he'll be less efficient than you might even expect. We're sure about that? He's faster than their previous slot guys. I think I want to resign myself to he can't play on the outside.
Maybe he can. Just like, well, that's a bad comparison. Josh Allen can play in the NBA for 6 minutes a night. But would you want him to? You know, Shakir, can he play on the outside? Maybe. Would a team want him to? I wouldn't think you'd want that consistently. But maybe he, you know, has developed
so
part of his game that wasn't there before.
What do you think it is? Samuel and Coleman when they go 12 personnel?
Yeah.
Or Samuel and Hollins, one of those two?
It is interesting though, because like if you were to scout all their receivers, the guys that can play on the outside, that there's little doubt they can play on the outside, it's Mac Hollins, MVS to a degree, and Curtis Samuel has done plenty on the outside. Coleman is a guy that they'll want to do that, but we don't know how effective he'll be at that just yet. So
right.
The two tight end stuff, it's still, I don't know how much they'll do it. It's, you know, just part of what they do, part of their formations mixed in. It's interesting, though, because they've got a lot, it's been multiple years of this, where on the outside, their depth is not great. And that was the case last year and the year before, where Jake Kumerow was your first outside receiver option past Diggs and Davis. And then it's Trent Sherfield is your number one outside receiving option past Diggs and Davis. Like, they've not really been great on the outside in a while. And maybe, again, Brady designs things differently. Their splits and how wide their formations are and motion and blah, blah, blah. So we'll see how it plays out and how much they actually do use 12. 803-0550, thanks to Sal. Training camp wrapping up today. Today, the final day from St. John Fisher and home for three preseason games. Josh Allen talked about Diggs yesterday. Mm-hmm. Was asked about it, of course. Talked about it. We'll get to that next hour as we cruise here. Happy Thursday. It's gonna rain. It's gonna rain over the weekend. It's gonna rain a little bit today. It's like 5-6 inches in Syracuse, Rochester. A lot of the heaviest rain is east of us. So the first round of the Wyndham Championship has been delayed by the rain.
Yep,
by the Debbie, the tropical storm. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
We're going to talk about the Allen and Diggs thing coming up at 8. He was asked about him yesterday.
He was asked about him. He mentioned him. He talked about it.
Kind of on the same, similar subject, because everything, I saw this on Twitter yesterday a little bit, every little comment or anything dancing can be, oh, well, see, Diggs, they don't miss him, right? And I noticed that with another team yesterday and how fans will just take any little thing and just run with it to fit whatever they want. Cliff Kingsbury said yesterday, quote, I love Jaden Daniels' process, can tell he studies like crazy. And then everybody took that as, oh, he's taking a shot at Kyler Murray because he didn't study. And the clause in his contract when he was Cardinals coach. Maybe he was just talking about Jaden Daniels studying.
Maybe.
Ever consider that?
I thought you were going to say that they're relieved to have Curtis Samuel out of the building.
Oh,
you never know.
I don't think he said that, at least. I didn't listen to his whole thing.
No, probably not. All right. Is everything in Jacksonville about how happy they are that Calvin Ridley's gone? I don't know. We'll get that comment from Allen. What it was that he was asked, how it was answered, when we get back. Anthony on hold. This is about Shakir. Anthony, hang on. We'll get to your phone call right on the other side as well. I want to hear what you have to say about Khalil Shakir, who, of course, broke out last year at the end of the season with these Bills. 803-0550. Welcome to the preseason. Two games tonight. Bills playing Saturday. Last day of the training camp is today, and we've got you covered. Allen speaking about Diggs on a question. We'll get to that next.
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For track pick.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
We're going to talk about the Allen and Diggs thing coming up at 8. He was asked about him yesterday.
He mentioned him. He talked about it.
Kind of on the same similar subject, because everything – I saw this on Twitter yesterday a little bit. Every little comment or anything dancing can be, oh, we'll see, Diggs, they don't miss him, right? And I noticed that with another team yesterday, and how fans will just take any little thing and just run with it to fit whatever they want. Cliff Kingsbury said yesterday, quote, "I love Jaden Daniels' process, can tell he studies like crazy." And then everybody took that as, oh, he's taking a shot at Kyler Murray because he didn't study. And the clause in his contract when he was Cardinals coach. Maybe he was just talking about Jaden Daniels studying.
Maybe.
Ever consider that?
I thought you were going to say that they're relieved to have Curtis Samuel out of the building.
Oh,
you never know.
I don't think he said that, at least. I didn't listen to his whole thing.
No, probably not. All right. Is everything in Jacksonville about how happy they are that Calvin Ridley's gone? I don't know. We'll get that comment from Allen. What it was that he was asked, how it was asked, how it was answered. When we get back, Anthony on hold. This is about Shakir. Anthony, hang on. We'll get to your phone call right on the other side as well. I want to hear what you have to say about Khalil Shakir, who, of course, broke out last year at the end of the season with these Bills. 803-0550. Welcome to the preseason. Two games tonight. Bills playing Saturday. Last day of the training camp is today, and we've got you covered. Allen speaking about Diggs on a question. We'll get to that next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them,
Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.